And we're going to be looking at this morning what I call, and what many people have called, Jesus Christ's first sermon. And it is definitely his first prophetic sermon, where he talks about himself in the future. And depending on where you place it in the life of Christ, and what you kind of some other statements he makes, I like to call it Jesus' first sermon. I think it's very applicable to us. We're going to be looking at some basic aspects of this sermon and what God has for us here today. Luke chapter 4, I'll start reading in verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, which is Isaiah. And when he had opened that book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Jesus' first sermon was a very bold one. He takes the book of Isaiah, he opens it up in the midst of them, and we'll see later that they were so taken back by that boldness and what he said to them and his message there that they try to kill him. It wasn't his time yet, so God gave him the ability there to do a miracle. He passed through the midst of them. He basically walked right through them. They couldn't push him off that cliff where he wanted to go. They couldn't kill him. It wasn't his time yet. But it incited such a reaction from them. It was so bold. And I'm reminded of that word boldness here through this passage. Proverbs 28:1, maybe you know it. It says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." And that's what I see from Jesus Christ here, his boldness here, being willing to go to his own people, the city of Nazareth, to open up the book of Isaiah and say, "Look, I am this man that Isaiah was prophesying about. One day you're going to say to me, 'Physician, heal thyself.'" That's what they said to him on the cross. He said to them, "I'm sent to be a prophet here. I have God's power on me." And they hated that. They saw his boldness and they reacted to it. Maybe you've seen that same righteousness, that bold as a lion. I like that verse there in Proverbs, because a lot of times we hear about it, especially nowadays in the news, about mountain lions or different types of cougars or different wild cats, big ones that wandering through neighborhoods. I grew up in Wisconsin, and just recently, about maybe 6 to 8 months ago, there was a mountain lion that was walking through a suburban neighborhood, a subdivision. And this one was, and nowadays there's so many cameras on houses that people were posting on it online, showing this mountain lion as it's walking through this house. And this is Milwaukee area, you know, a city of 800,000. They haven't seen a mountain lion there ever, basically. But this thing's just walking through the suburbs. And there was one picture of it. Somebody had a front porch camera, and they saw the mountain lion came up through the front yard and then stood up, put its legs right on the front windowsill, and was peering through that front bay window. That's kind of crazy. Isn't that bold? I would never do that. You know, if I'm walking through a suburban neighborhood, a subdivision or whatever, I'm not going up to somebody's house and looking through their window. But that cat was bold. It was a lion. Mountain lion was bold. That's just a picture of that boldness there of a lion. That's what Jesus Christ had here. He was so bold. He was a bold witness. He preached God's word. I see four things. I know four things. We're going to move quickly through them. From God's word from this passage here about his message. A bold message. And I want you to ask yourself, am I a bold witness for Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ here was bold. There's so many things from the life of Christ that we need to see and apply to our lives. But first of all, we've got to realize that he was bold. We've got to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. Be bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. First of all, I want us to look at a couple of practical things here from the life of Jesus Christ. Christ's message was practical. It was something that is
easy for us to do today here. I got a couple of things here in the practicality of his message. First of all, he was a spiritual person. What did he do? In verse 16, when he came to Nazareth, at where he had been brought up, this is his hometown, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. He was a spiritual person. I think that was the first step of boldness there. So many times, maybe if you're like you, like me, it's easy to try to relate to the lost in a non-spiritual way. It's easy to try and look like them, to live like them, to act like them. But Jesus' first step, practical step of boldness, was to go to the synagogue. Be a spiritual person. That's what where they were gathered together. They were here there to hear the word of God, and he asked to read, as his custom was. It was normally, that word custom there, that it was his habit. He went to the synagogue. Maybe it's your habit, and I'm sure it is, to come here on Sunday. Maybe you come Sunday night. Maybe you come Wednesday night as well. I hope it's your habit to come to the place of worship that God has given you, your local church. Jesus, his habit here, well, he was a spiritual person. He wasn't trying to, he was coming to seek and to save the sinners, the lost. But he didn't act in such a way that he acted like the lost. He acted like a spiritual person. That's what we need to do. We need to live differently. Growing up, I had a lot of friends that I went to high school with that, for whatever reason, they've gone separate ways. They've either left the church they were going to or didn't really have a heart for the Lord. And one thing that I was always encouraged to do was to be a spiritual person. Because those individuals, and maybe you can testify to this as I can, that when they run into a difficult area of their lives, when something happens, when God wakes them up, they're going to need somebody to come back to. They're not going to go to those friends that just live the part of going to a church and then did, you know, whatever it was on the weekend with them or at night or talk to them. They went to the spiritual people. They went to the ones that they could know were different, that had the answers. That's what Jesus Christ, he lived differently. He was a spiritual person. That's what we need to do. Be bold in living for Jesus Christ. Be different. Be that person that they know, that your workplace knows, your neighbors know, your family knows, that if they need spiritual help and guidance, that's where they turn to. And that's the person they go to. Be a bold person living for Jesus Christ. Make it your practice to be a good Christian, a spiritual person. Second practical area I see here is that he was willing to give a pointed, succinct gospel message. His boldness there was a very short message. We read it in verses 18 and 19. It's very short. He knew where he wanted to go. He knew God's word. He said what he needed to say. And when he was done with it, he sat down and was quiet and let them respond. I've shot myself in the foot many times by not knowing where to turn, not knowing where to go in the gospel, for a gospel message. And Jesus knew exactly what he wanted to say. He went right to the book of Isaiah, and we can find this passage there in Isaiah chapter 58, I believe, 61 verses 1 and 2. And that's where he turned, and he reads this passage. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's appointed me to preach the gospel. We're going to go further into that message and what it's saying there, but he knew what he wanted to say. Do you know the gospel? It's a practical area that we can know from Jesus Christ's boldness. You got to know what you want to say. You got to know God's word. Either be able to turn to it or have it memorized. And I certainly don't have every verse memorized, but what's been helpful for me, and I heard a pastor say it a couple weeks ago, that you ought to be able to know where to turn. If not, just memorize a couple of verses. Know where they're found. Maybe you have a small New Testament with you, have them highlighted. Write down the page number. A couple of practical things there so that you, when your time, when God gives you an opportunity to preach the gospel, you can say one or two verses. Share that with someone, and God will use that as he used it here through his son, Jesus Christ. He gave the gospel. It wasn't just a motivational or a spiritual talk. So many times we get caught up in inviting someone to church. That's not bad. It's not bad. We get caught up in spiritual conversations, don't we? But we fail to give the gospel. practically give a gospel message. Don't just talk, have a spiritual talk. Don't just talk about how their day was or how their church was. Give them a verse. Give them a something that can stick with them. Use God's word. Point them to Jesus Christ. Give the gospel. Be bold. Be willing to give that pointed, succinct gospel message. Maybe a third practical aspect of our gospel witness is that we should be willing to be rejected. What happened to Jesus in verse 28? It says there in verse 28, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath." They got angry. They were mad. How many of you have been rejected by giving the gospel? I know I have. I've had people say no. I've had people take the tract and say, "I don't want this. You know, don't give it to me." That's rejection. Maybe not to the point of Jesus Christ where they want to kill us. Thankfully, our government allows that freedom of speech, freedom of religion. We're not faced with some of that persecution. But we can still have that rejection. Maybe if we go to a neighbor, they say, "Oh, we have our own church we go to." Or family member might get very angry with us. Be willing to be rejected. That comes along with boldness. They were so angry that they wanted to kill Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't let that hurt his feelings. Didn't let that stop him. He went on 3 more years of that rejection, of that persecution. And ultimately, he was willing to die for us and give his life for us. Be willing to be rejected. Don't get discouraged. Finally, in our practical things that I see from broadly looking at this message, we saw that he gave he knew where he had to go. He was willing to give a gospel message. He was willing to be rejected. I believe that he believed the white harvest. You know the passage where he says to his disciples, "Look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest." There's people ready to be reached. There's an audience that is ready to receive God's word and ready to receive the gospel. Jesus Christ believed that. Because what did he say in verses 23 to 27? He's basically saying, throughout all the time of the Old Testament, through the time of Elisha, the Israelites didn't want to receive Jesus Christ. But there were people there in other areas. He mentions the Naaman. He mentions the woman of Sarepta, the widow there, and how they were ready to receive Jesus, ready to receive the Messiah and the healing from the prophet or provision of oil there. There's a white harvest. The truth is that if the Nazarenes, Jesus' people, when they forsook him, there were Galileans that were ready to receive him. Look at verse 31. "And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." See, when the Nazarenes rejected him, the Galileans received him, and that's the same for you. If there's a Nazarene in your life, maybe that friend, family member, like in Jesus's, if they reject you, look for that Galilean that's going to receive you. There's a law of the white harvest. That some seed will be sown on good ground. Some will be will jump up real quick, but will get scorched through Satan. But there's good ground. They're ready to receive Jesus Christ. And that fruit blossoms into a tree, and it goes further and further there, that multiplication principle. There's a good ground. If the Nazarenes reject you, go to the Galileans. Go to the place and the people to whom God has prepared. You've got to believe that white harvest. Be bold. Believe in that truth. Because the truth about that white harvest is not that you've got to keep looking where your seed should go. It's that you should be the sower. No matter what, giving out that seed, that word of God, that gospel, be a witness. Be bold for Jesus Christ. Just a couple of practical areas of his message. Christ's message was practical. Want us to also see here that Christ's message was powerful. He starts out in verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." His power was right there in the Holy Spirit. God's word was his script. He was reading in verses 18 and 19 of comes from Isaiah 61. Verses 25 through 26 is comes from 1 Kings 17. Verse 27 comes from 2 Kings 5. God's word was what was being preached. That was his script. His source was the Holy Spirit. And that same power, that same word of God is given to us. You're holding it right there in front of you. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have that Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he gives us that same exact power. Think about Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was manifested there among those new believers, that first church there. They were given that power. And they saw on that same day 3,000 people saved. You know, we have that same power. They preached the word of God. We can do that same thing, right? The Holy Spirit gives us some boldness, gives us the words to say. We have the word of God. This truth is commanded. It's got to be commanded when we with that truth there to take the Holy Spirit, use his power, preach his word. Maybe you're a NASCAR fan or somebody that watches NASCAR. My dad was a NASCAR fan growing up, and he pretty much watched every race that he could. They had an old slogan for many years, and that was to win on Sunday, sell on Monday. Because when they first started out, they were racing pretty much the same cars that you could buy at a dealer's lot, pretty much anywhere. You could get that same car that was racing on the racetrack. And I think that's an interesting slogan. Even though the Bible and the message of the gospel is not a sales gimmick like that, we can, as Christians, it's got to be noted that the same powerful God of that we learn on Sunday, that's in God's word, is what we need to live on Monday. So instead of saying things like win on Sunday, sell on Monday, maybe for a Christian's life, we should say learn on Sunday, live it on Monday. Think about that. Christ's message is powerful. He lived it. What you learned in his word, it's powerful. Access the Spirit's power. Ask him for boldness and preach God's word. That's what Jesus Christ did. He was anointed with power to preach the gospel. In the Great Commission, we hear him say, "All power is given unto me. Go ye." And that's so important. That's the command there. That's the power. It's the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, living through us to give the gospel. His message was practical. We saw those areas. It was powerful because of the Holy Spirit, because of the word of God. But it's a personal message as well. His message was salvation. It's a personal choice that each of us have to make. Have you made that choice? Have you decided to place your entire dependence on Jesus Christ alone to save you? If you have not, if you can't go back in your mind and point to a time where you admitted you are a sinner and you rested in Jesus Christ's work on the cross to give you eternal life, not on anything else you have done, and you put your dependence on him alone, if that hasn't come in your life, there hasn't been a time and a place where you can look back on that you did that, then come talk to one of us. We'd be, talk to myself, my wife, a number of the people right beside you, I'm sure, can share with you how you can have eternal life and that dependence on Jesus Christ, that decision you've got to make. Jesus Christ, his message was personal. It was on that personal choice there. He was there to preach the gospel, good news to the poor. Verse 18, he says, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Notice the types of people that he mentions here. He knew his audience. And he mentions a couple of different types of people here that he is the one that is going to be preaching the gospel. First of all, I see the poor there. And a lot of times we think about that as financially, if you actually look at how this word is being used, it's for the spiritually poor. He also used this in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It talks about those that are spiritually impoverished, that have no wealth of God's help, that need God's help. That's who he's talking to, the people that need a Savior. That's who he was sent to. Isn't that you and I? Before we were saved, we needed him. We got to a point where we realized that we were nothing, that our good works were as filthy rags. And we needed Jesus Christ's Son to die on his, give his, die in our place, give us his righteousness. That's what that poor is there. He also mentions the brokenhearted. Those whose inner being has been crushed under the realization of their sin. They had to realize that they were in need of a Savior, and that many times, maybe for you, drew you to tears, drew you to your knees. When I was 5 years old, I was young, but I realized I was a sinner. It made me scared. That's a similar type of emotion to that brokenheartedness. You realize that something, your sin causes you to change a direction. That's who the brokenhearted there. There's so many brokenhearted all around us. They try so many ways to fill that void in their life with sin. But what does Proverbs say about sin? That it's only pleasurable for a season. After that, they feel that brokenheartedness. And it comes quick. It comes quick that they realize that they need to fill that void and we need to be right there with boldness to preach the gospel as Jesus Christ did. Another person that he mentioned there, the brokenhearted, also the captives. Again, that along those same lines, those held and bound by the chains of sin that were captives to Satan. The blind there, those who haven't seen the light of Jesus Christ, the Savior. They're held in darkness. We find that same term being used about Satan blinding the hearts and minds of men. We saw that blindness in Ecuador. We see it around us here in the United States, that Satan keeps them from receiving the truth. What cuts through that darkness? It's the light of Jesus Christ. We're the light of the world. When we give his gospel, we can see those chains being broken. Also mentioned the bruised, set at liberty, them that are bruised, those that are oppressed by Satan, that are constantly being buffeted and forced into sin by Satan. Who came to release those captives? To set at liberty them that are bruised, it's Jesus Christ. He's speaking here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. See, there's hope here in this message that Jesus Christ is preaching. Even though there's blind, there's brokenhearted, there's poor, there's bruised, Jesus Christ knew their need. He knew his audience. He knew who he was sent to reach. And he died for them. And that's that same hope that we have in our hearts. That same hope that we can communicate to somebody else. That same story, that testimony that we have, that you can share with somebody else. Share with them the great things that Jesus Christ had done for you. I'm reminded of the passage that Paul is writing about all kinds of different sinners in that church there. And he says that phrase, "And such were some of you." And I could put myself right into that same position, but I know I have that Jesus Christ died for me, and I know I have his life inside of me. And you're there, if you're there right, have that same feeling that you have put your dependence on Jesus Christ, you have that hope inside of you. You have that light. You have that strength that breaks captives free, and it's your duty to share that with those that need it. Know your audience. Share with them the great things that Jesus Christ had done for you. Many times throughout the Gospels when people interacted with Jesus Christ, when they were healed of their leprosy or their blindness or their lameness, when they saw a child raised to life or a mother, they went out and they told everybody. They weren't going to let anybody stop them from telling them the great things that Jesus did for them. But so many times, isn't that where we lose our boldness? We don't want to tell them what changed in our life. We've got to go out, church. Be willing to be bold. Share what great things that Jesus Christ, our hope. Maybe you've heard the song, "There's Room at the Cross for You." goes like this in the verse 2 in the chorus says, though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still wants to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. And though that song was written toward an unsaved, think of a non-saved individual, think of that in your life as a believer. You're part of the millions that have come and found him a friend. But there's one person. Perhaps there's millions more for you to reach. But find that one person that needs to hear of that hope of Jesus Christ. Bring them to the cross, because there's room at the cross for you. There's no limit on who Jesus Christ died for. Jesus Christ died for all. He loves all. He wants you to have your part in sharing that blessed hope. Have you come to Jesus? Have you come to him as your Savior? And if you have, Christian, are you bold enough to tell somebody? Are you willing to give that message of power, that message of change? Are you bold enough to learn about someone else's need? Jesus mentioned the poor, the brokenhearted. Are you willing to let your life be affected by somebody that's broken? It's captive in sin, that's buffeted, that's bruised. Pour your life out to them. Give them the hope that you have. Are you bold enough to go to a sinner with the good news? Jesus Christ's message was practical. It was powerful. It was personal. And finally, we'll see here that it was pivotal. It resulted in a change. When people are confronted with this message, they've got to pivot to life or death. There's no in between. They've got to either receive it or reject it. It's pivotal. Acceptance of this message results in eternal life, but rejection of this message results in eternal death. It's a life or death matter. The message was time-sensitive in nature. What does Jesus Christ say in verse 19? To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That word acceptable there is the same word that's used in 2 Corinthians 6:2 that says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ was saying, the time is now. There's no time for delay. Later on, he says to his disciples, and I quoted it earlier, there's not 4 months to wait. That harvest is white now. We've got to receive Jesus Christ right now. We've got to give the gospel now, because there's lost and dead in their sins. When should we stop giving the gospel? When? Really, never. As long as there's a lost person to receive it, we should be giving the gospel. Now is the accepted time. And as you study through this passage, there's a couple of scholars have written about this, where he's quoting from Isaiah 61 in verse 2. It kind of keeps going on. But he stops right there and he sits down and closes the book. And a lot of people ask, why did he stop? Why didn't he finish that passage? The passage in Isaiah goes on to talk about his second coming, his judgment on the earth. But what Schofield calls it is the exquisite accuracy of Scripture. And I like pointing it out because God's Word works together so well. And he knew exactly what he wanted to preach and exactly what he wanted to say. And he stopped right in, he preached only the section that was pertaining to his first coming, his earthly ministry. He stops because coming up is the portion that pertains to his second coming and the judgment of your earth. And he didn't want those people to be confused. He wanted to realize that time was now, that this new time when he was on earth was beginning a new era, the first coming, the dispensation of grace. He wanted them to focus in on that and focus in on who he was. Not be confused, but realize that there is a time limit for us as Christians here. We're in this age of grace. We're in the church age, but our time is limited. There's going to be a time when Jesus Christ comes back, when that prophecy that he didn't quote here from Isaiah 61 will be fulfilled, that Jesus Christ is coming again. Our time is short, and it's time to work for him. Another song that perhaps you've heard is Stand Up for Jesus. And it talks about that same boldness, that there's no time for delay.
that we are to be bold in preaching that gospel, as bold as a lion. Stand up for Jesus says, stand up. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. And I'll add in, because there's no power there. The power is in the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle. The next, the victor's song. To him that overcometh, the crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Our time is short. Jesus Christ is coming again. How will you be rewarded? Will you have that victor's crown of one that was bold in battle, giving the gospel, preaching the gospel, pointing people to Jesus Christ? Have you put on that gospel armor? Do you know those practical areas? Do you know the gospel? Do you know at least know where to turn to show someone? Are you willing to be a spiritual person? Are you willing to live differently from the world? Are you willing to suffer persecution? Be willing to be rejected like Jesus Christ was? Are you willing to believe the white harvest that right here around you, there's someone that's ready to hear the gospel? It was a practical message. It was powerful. Because of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, the same two tools, the sword that we have in our gospel armor, the Holy Spirit's power behind us. It was personal. Is there someone in your life that you can learn of? Somebody broken, somebody that's bruised, somebody poor spiritually, somebody bound in sin that God wants you to share the gospel with. Maybe someone's coming to your mind right now. Someone that you can share that gospel with this week. And it's pivotal. It's life or death. That's our motivation. We don't know what our day may bring forth. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We shouldn't wait with the message. Our life may be ended. That person that we're to reach might be ended. Jesus Christ might be coming again. It might be too short. Too late. Are you willing to stand up for Jesus? Strife will not be long. This day, the noise of battle, the next, the victor's song, the reward we have in heaven to spend time with Jesus Christ. What can we bring with us? None of our earthly possessions, but we can bring with us the souls of men that we've led and pointed to Jesus Christ. Are you ready to stand for Jesus? Are you ready to be as bold as a lion? Point them to Jesus Christ. Be willing to go anywhere, speak to anyone, and sacrifice everything. Be bold like Jesus Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for this first message from your Son, Jesus Christ. It's how it is so applicable to us today. Lord, help us to live it tomorrow, this week, for the rest of our lives. Thank you so much for the opportunity to live for you and the gift of your Son that we remember through this Christmas time. Lord, use your word in each and every heart here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.